Madhava. Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivara Dhari Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivara Dhari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janna Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janna Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vannacharya Yamuna Tira Vannacharya Jayarada Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivara Dhari Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivara Dhari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janna Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janna Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vannachari Yamuna Tira Vannachari Yamuna Jayarada Madhava Kunja Bihari Jayarada Jayarada Madhava Kunja Bihari Jayarada Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivara Dhari Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivara Dhari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janna Ranjana యశోద నందన రజగన్న రంగన్న యశోద యమునా తీరావన్న చారియాలు యమునా తీరావన్న చారియాలు జయ రాధమారవ కుంద విహారి జయ రాధమారవ కుంద విహారి జన్న వల్లభ గిరివర ధారి గోపీ జన్న వల్లభ గిరివర ధారి యశోర నందన్న వ్రజ గన్న రంగన్న యశోర నందన్న వ్రజ గన్న రంగన్న యమున తీరావన్న చారియము యమున తీరావన్న చారియము జయ రాధ మాధవ కుంజ విహారి 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 జయ విష్ణు పాద పరమహంస కవి జరగచ్చాయ అష్టోత్తర శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ హై చరణరవింద భక్తి విరంత స్వామి ప్రభుపాదకి జయ స్కం సంస్థపకచాయ శీల ప్రభుపాదకి జయ జయం విష్ణు పాద పరమంస కవి జరగచ్చాయ అష్టోత్తర శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ శిలభక్తి సిరంత సరస్వతి గోస్వామి మహారాజ్ ప్రభుపాదకి జయ ఆనంత కోటి వైష్ణవృంద కి జయ నామాచార్య శిల హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి జయ ప్రేమ్ సికహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శివాసరి గౌర భక్త వృంద కి జయ శ్రీ శ్రీరార కృష్ణ గోప గోపీనాథ శ్యామకుందరార కుంద గిరి గోవర్ధన్ కి జయ బృందావృందాన్ కి జయ నవర్విభ్యాం కి జయ గంగామయీ కి జయ యమునామయీ కి జయ తులసీదేవి కి జయ భక్తిదేవి కి జయ సామవేత భక్తవృంద కి జయ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ గురు అండ్ గౌరంగ నమో విష్ణు పాదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతి భక్తి విరంత స్వామినితి నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవారి పశ్చాత్య దేశ తరిణే హరే కృష్ణ మై నేమ్ ఇస్ భక్తి గౌరవాణి గోస్వామి preaching mainly in Spanish-speaking countries and Europe. So before we begin, I would like to mention some points that I think are important, especially for Mayapur, which is the center of our Krishna consciousness movement. Mayapur TV is being watched by many, many devotees all over the world, and they are learning some wrong mantras, like the Nisinga prayers. Those who may doubt my words, please go to Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Lila, chapter 16, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered his obeisances in front of Nisingadev, which is situated near the Jagannath temple. He offered prayers from the Nisinga Purana, Namaste Narasinghaya. That part is correct. But the second part, unfortunately, has become a habit, especially in Mayapur, always singing Ah Nisingha at the end, which is not the mantra. I'll read it for you. Antya Lila 16, verse 53. Ito Nisingha, yes, Parato Nising, oh. Yato Yato Yami, Tato Nisingha, yes. Vat Bahir Nisingho, Ridaye Nisingho. Nrisingamarim, not Narasingham, Nrisingamarim Sharanam Prapadye. Got it? Those who don't speak English, Bengalis, Russian, Chinese, hopefully somebody will transmit it in your language. The other prayer, generally today it was chanted correctly, sometimes also things are added. Madhya Lila 8.5, Sri Nisinga, Jai Nisinga, Jai Jai Nrisinga. That's it. Not more Sri's, not more Jai's. Another one I think is really important. Somebody, somehow or other, introduced Panchatattva Bhagavan Ki Jai. I don't know where this is coming from. In the Adi Lila, chapter 7, text number 5, there's a verse saying, Bengalis, please don't laugh, Panchatattva ekabastu nahi kichu bheda, rasa asvadite tava bibidha bibheda. Spiritually, there are no differences between these five tattvas, for on the transcendental platform, everything is absolute. Yet, there are also varieties in the spiritual world, and in order to taste these spiritual varieties, one should distinguish between them. So we have three Vishnu tattvas, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, and Sri Advaita Acharya. And we have two Shakti tattvas, Gadadhar Pandit and Srivas Thakur. If we want to argue, please don't argue. The simple reason is nowhere, ever, in his books, lectures, conversations, letters, or anywhere else, Srila Prabhupada has used the term Panchatattva Bhagavan. Just doesn't exist. So please don't do that. I'm very sure Prabhupada would immediately stop it. He has stopped many other little things that were introduced which we may think are very insignificant. You may ask Hari Shauri Prabhu about this. He has a whole seminar about chanting. Sometime in some place somebody just put a little bolo in front of the Mahamantra and Prabhupada sent him down to stop the kirtan and said there's no bolo in the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, which seems to be like really insignificant. Oh, this is Bengal. So the A's, which have not a little diacritic mark, they have the tendency to do O's. But Prabhupada, although from here, he also chanted Rama. So if try, just try. And if you're in Spanish-speaking countries, it becomes really weird, because Ramo, it means branch. So, anyway. Well, the last thing is really difficult, and Srila Prabhupada personally, in one lecture in 1973, tried to correct that, the Sarasvati Devi, which is a Sarasvate Devi. But until this day, 45 years later, even our top managers, leaders, and everything, everybody else, so many people do the Sarasvati Devi. Please, Prabhupada corrected it personally, it's Sarasvate Devi. I did my part, I think I did my duty, and now it's up to all of you, especially those who are vigilant, GBCs, sannyasis, and other leaders. If you hear the little mistakes, try to at least go to the leaders. It comes all from the top. Yat yat acharati shreshtas. If the leaders do it right, maybe in time the others also will do. My experience is nowadays it's so bad. I chanted the Nisinga prayers some weeks ago, and everybody else did it wrong. What to do? Habit. Anyway, now let's start with Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th canto, chapter 8, The Churning of the Milk Ocean. I was asked to do text 22, 23, 24, 25. We have 25, I believe, on the board, yes. So I will just read 22, 23, 24. It is still the goddess of fortune trying to distinguish who is who, looking for the appropriate person to surrender to. And we had all these, someone may have this and may have that, but there's always some defect. So this continues in text number 22. Someone may have longevity, how you say, longevity? Longevity. English is really problematic. Someone may have longevity, but not have auspiciousness or good behavior. Someone may have both auspiciousness and good behavior, but the duration of his life is not fixed. Although such demigods as Lord Shiva have eternal life, they have inauspicious habits like living in crematoriums. And even if others are well qualified in all respects, they are not devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text 23. Shukadeva Goswami continued, in this way, after full deliberation, the goddess of fortune accepted Mukunda as her husband, because although he is independent and not in want of her, he possesses all transcendental qualities and mystic powers and is therefore the most desirable. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mukunda, is self-sufficient. Since he is fully independent, he was not in want of the support or association of Lakshmi Devi. Nonetheless, Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, accepted him as her husband. Text 24. Approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the goddess of fortune placed upon his shoulders the garland of newly grown lotus flowers, which was surrounded by humming bumblebees searching for honey. Then, expecting to get a place on the bosom of the Lord, she remained standing by his side, her face smiling in shyness. Now we have text 25, translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Tasya Sri Yastri Jagato Janako Jananya. Vaksho Nivasam Akarot Paramam Vibhute. Sri Sva Praja Sakaranena Nirikshanena. Yatrasti daedayata saripating strilokan. Tasya shriyastri jagato janako jananya. Vaksho nivasam akarot paramang vibhute. Shri Sva Praja Sakvarunena Nirikshanena Yatrastidaidyata Sadipating Strilokan Tasya Shriyastri Jagato Janako Jananya Vaksho Nivasam Akarot Paramang Vibhute Shri Sva Praja Sakarunena Nirikshanena Yatra Stidaida Yata Saripating Strilokan
Try to do the same tune, otherwise we get confused. You can?
Tasya Sriyas Tasya Sriyas Trijagato Janako Jananya Raksho Nivasam Makarot Paramang Vibhute Shri Sva Praja Sakarunena Nirikshanena Yatra Stitaida Yata Saripating Strilokan Tasya Sriyastri Jagato Janako Jananya
Try to do the same tune. You can, if not, let others do. So we
Tasya Sriya. Tasya Sriyastri Jagato Janaka Jananya Trasti tai jata stadi patings trilokan Vaishnavis. Tasya Sriyastri Jagato Janako Jananya Vaksho Nivasa Makarot Paramam Vibhute Shri Sva Praja Karunanena Nirikshanena Yatra Stita Vyaita Saripatim Trilokan Tasya Sriyastri Jagato Janako Jananya Raksho nivasam akarot paramam vibhute. Shri Svapraja Sankarena Nirikshanena Yatra Sthitaida Yata Sari Patin Srilokan Tasya of her Shriya, the goddess of fortune, Tri Jagataha of the three worlds, Janakaha, the father, Jananyaha, of the mother, Vakshaha, bosom, Nivasam, residence, Akarot, maid, Paramam, supreme, Vibhutehe, of the opulent, Shri, the goddess of fortune, Sva, own, Praja, descendants, Sakarunanena, with favorable mercy, Nidikshanena, by glancing over, Yatra, wherein, Stita, staying, Aidayata, increased, Saadipatin, with the great directors and leaders, Sri Trilokan, the three worlds. Translation: the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the father of the three worlds, and his bosom is the residence of Mother Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, the proprietor of all opulences. The goddess of fortune, by her favorable and merciful glance, can increase the opulence of the three worlds, along with their inhabitants and their directors, the demigods. Purport. According to the desire of Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, the Supreme Personality of Godhead made his bosom her residence, so that by her glance she could favor everyone, including the demigods and ordinary human beings. In other words, since the goddess of fortune stays on the bosom of Narayana, she naturally sees any devotee who worships Narayana. When the goddess of fortune understands that a devotee is in favor of devotional service to Narayana, she is naturally inclined to bless the devotee with all opulences. The karmis try to receive the favor and mercy of Lakshmi, but because they are not devotees of Narayana, their opulence is flickering. The opulence of devotees who are attached to the service of Narayana is not like the opulence of karmis. The opulence of devotees is as permanent as the opulence of Narayana himself. Tasya sriyastri jagato janako jananya vaksho nivasam akarot paramang vibhutehe Sri sva praja sakarunena nidikshanena yatra stidaida yata sadi patingstri lokan. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the father of the three worlds, and his bosom is the residence of Mother Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, the proprietor of all opulences. The goddess of fortune, by her favorable and merciful glance, can increase the opulence of the three worlds, along with their inhabitants and their directors, the demigods. Omagyana timirandasya gyanandana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai sri gurave namaha sri chaitanya manobishtam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupakaramayam dadati sva padantikam. He Krishna karuna sindho dina bandho jagatpate gopesha gopika kanta radha kanta namostate tapta kanchana gaurangi radhe vrinda vaneshwari brishavanu sutedevi pranamami hari priye vanshakalpa tarubhyascha
kripa sinnubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in support of this verse, let me read another verse from a section, same canto, some chapters before, when the demigods first ask help. They go to the Lord and ask for protection. So there it says, in verse 47, it's the last verse of the fifth chapter, Karmis are always anxious to accumulate wealth for sense gratification. But for that purpose, they must work very hard. Yet even though they work hard, the results are not satisfying. Indeed, sometimes their work results only in frustration. But devotees who have dedicated their lives to the service of the Lord can achieve substantial results without working very hard. These results exceed the devotee's expectations. Now the purport of Srila Prabhupada. We can practically see how the devotees who have dedicated their lives for the service of the Lord in the Krishna consciousness movement are getting immense opportunities for the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead without working very hard. The Krishna consciousness movement actually started with only 40 rupees. Well, that was 1965-66. At that time, well, a little later when we came here the first time, $1 was 8 rupees. Is that right? My memory? Anyway, 40 rupees, definitely $7-$8, right? But now, that's 1976, like 10 years later, it has more than 40 crores worth of property. And all this opulence has been achieved within 8 or 10 years. No karmi can expect to improve his business so swiftly. And besides that, whatever a karmi acquires is temporary and sometimes frustrating. In Krishna consciousness, however, everything is encouraging and improving. The Krishna consciousness movement is not very popular with the karmis because this movement recommends that one refrain from illicit sex, meat eating, gambling, and intoxication. These are restrictions that karmis very much dislike. Nonetheless, in the presence of so many enemies, this movement is progressing, going forward without impediments. If the devotees continue to spread this movement, dedicating the life and soul to the lotus feet of Krishna, no one will be able to check it. The movement will go forward without limits. And Prabhupada was so enthused, he finishes the purport saying, "Chant Hare Krishna." That's it. Now we are all very enlivened and positive. Now let's look at the other side of the coin. Another verse and purport by Srila Prabhupada a little later, also in the 8th canto. Bali Maharaj surrenders his life. Chapter 22, verse 16. And Prahlad Maharaj, he is praying, he is addressing Vamana Deva. And he says, "My Lord, it is your lordship who gave this Bali Maharaj the very great opulence and post of heavenly king. And now today, it is you who have taken it all away. I think you have acted with equal beauty in both ways." Because his exalted position as king of heaven was putting him in the darkness of ignorance, you have done him a very merciful favor by taking away all his opulence. Purport. As it is said, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.88.8, Yasyaham anugrinami harishye tatanam shanai. It is by the mercy of the Lord that one gets all material opulence. But if such material opulence causes one to become puffed up and forget the process of self-realization, the Lord certainly takes all the opulence away. The Lord bestows mercy upon his devotee by helping him find out his constitutional position. For that purpose, the Lord is always ready to help the devotee in every way. But material opulence is sometimes dangerous because it diverts one's attention to false prestige by giving one the impression that he is the owner and master of everything he surveys. Although actually this is not a fact. To protect the devotee from such a misunderstanding, the Lord, showing special mercy, sometimes takes away his material possessions. Yasyaham anugrinami harishye tat danam shanai. And I will read one section of Chaitanya Charitamrita, 13th chapter, where Prabhupada says the following in the purport, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda, Advaita Prabhu, Swarup Damodar, Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das, and their followers are all accepted by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Anyone who follows in the footsteps of Kaviraj Goswami also accepts the lotus feet of the above-mentioned lords as his personal property. Now we'll focus on property, just pay attention, we'll read on. It goes, the idea is, or the topic is property. For the materialistic person, material wealth and opulence are only illusory. Actually, they are not possessions, but entanglements, because by enjoying the material world, a conditioned soul becomes more and more entangled by incurring debts for his present enjoyment. Unfortunately, a conditioned soul considers property for which he is in debt to be his own, and he's very busy acquiring such property. But a devotee considers such property not real property, real estate, but simply an entanglement in the material world. If Lord Krishna is very pleased with a devotee, he takes away his material property, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Yasyaham anugrinami harishye tattanam shanai. To show special favor to a devotee, I take away all his material property. And then Srila Prabhupada quotes a part of his song by Narottam Das Thakur, which I never had heard before, and maybe most of you do not know. It just comes before Nitai Parakamala. Dana mora Nityananda Radha Krishna Sri Charana Sei More Pranadana. My real riches are Nityananda Prabhu and the lotus feet of Sri Radha and Krishna. And Prabhupada says that the Acharya further prays, O Lord, kindly give me this opulence. I do not want anything but your lotus feet as my property. Then, last section I will quote is from a lecture by Srila Prabhupada in 1973, where he also speaks about this topic, and he says that Yudhishthira Maharaj, he inquired from Krishna. So if we have doubts, we are in good company. Yudhishthira Maharaj, he also had doubts. He says, we, the Pandavas, and our mother, Queen Kunti, we are completely dependent on you. And still we are suffering materially so much. Our kingdom is taken away, our wife is insulted, and someone has attempted to burn our house. And Krishna says, yes, that is my first business. Yasyaham anugrinami harishye tatanam shanai. If I specially favor anybody, then I take away all his sources of income. Very dangerous. Yes, I have got my practical experience, Srila Prabhupada says. It is Krishna's special favor. I do not wish to narrate, but it is a fact. And Prabhupada narrates it anyway. He says, my Guru Maharaj ordered me when I was 25 years old, you go and preach. But I thought, first of all, I shall become a rich man. And I shall use the money for preaching work. Sounds familiar? I think maybe some here may have had this thought. If you know how to move the material energy, let's first become a million and then... So, that's a long history, Prabhupada says. I got good opportunity for becoming very rich in business. And some astrologer told me, you should become like Birla. So there were some chances, very good chances. I was manager in a big chemical factory. I started my own factory. The business was very successful, but everything was dismantled. I was forced to come to this position to carry out the order of my Guru Maharaj. When everything was finished, then I took Krishna. You are the only. Therefore Krishna is akinchana vita. When one becomes finished of all material opulence, and this is quoted from one of Queen Kunti's prayers, Namo akinchana vitaya. My obeisance unto you who are the property of the materially impoverished. So in that purport, Srila Prabhupada says, the devotees of the Lord are called akinshanas because they have practically no material assets. Such material assets are all products of the three modes of material nature. They foil spiritual energy, and thus the less we possess, says such products of material nature, the more we have a good chance for spiritual progress. And then Prabhupada continues in the lecture saying, and now I am realizing that I have not lost, I have gained. That is a fact. So to lose material opulences for Krishna's sake is not a loss. It is the greatest gain. So here we have two apparently contradictory scenarios. In today's purport, Srila Prabhupada points out that the goddess of fortune, because of her position being on the bosom of Narayana, she has the best position of seeing all the devotees who are approaching, who are surrendering to the Lord. So, and then when she wants and she understands, as he says, a devotee is in favor of devotional service to Narayana, she's naturally inclined to bless the devotee with all opulences. So, how do we, when will happen what? Is there any way to tell? But then should we conclude what happened to Srila Prabhupada was because he was not advanced? That is like a natural thought that may come to mind. That's why I shouldn't avoid discussing it. How should we see it? Is it always like that?
Well, Srila Prabhupada was also a follower of Gandhi at first, and this is he's Acharya, he's Leela, so Acharya shows a progression. Even though he's Nitya Siddha devotee, he's not a conditioned soul, but still he teaches us how one advances and one perfects.
Perfect.
Even Lord Chaitanya, he was funded and then became Vaishnava.
And Yudhishthira Maharaj and the Pandavas, you know, if we think about that, I mean, it is, Prabhupada mentions in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam when Bhishma Deva is lying on the bed of arrows and he hears about all the tribulations the Pandavas had to undergo, he was in tears. He was shedding tears. We cannot even imagine. We hear the story and yes, it sounds quite extreme, that the poison cake and the fire and the so many different things happen to them. But I think it's definitely beyond our imagination. It was calamities. I mean, really, how you say? Catastrophes happening in one's life. And how you react, this is how those devotees who are in that position, how they show us. And we shouldn't think that they are conditioned or they are experiencing these things because of some reaction to their activities.
Yeah. Well, Prabhupada, as we just mentioned, he had this desire to become wealthy, which is a pure desire. He was going to preach, you know. So, but Krishna said, no, I have another plan. So he took everything away, and then he went preaching, and then Krishna gave him all the wealth.
Which also shows you don't need to have $1 million to start something. And he did that. I mean, if somebody has read The Chasing of the Rhinos, my God, so many, when I read this, so many memories coming, you know, our age, the hippie culture. But like we were in Germany, and everything in Europe was like a few years behind. And as he said, in 69, actually, that was like the 67 of San Francisco. So my first hippie year is actually 69. And I was 18, and yes. So, but when I came in contact with the devotees 2 years later, there was practically nothing. We were in Hamburg, and many of you who are also from America, how did we get something to eat? We went to the big markets and took whatever was thrown out, or maybe begging something. Mostly it was just thrown out, I remember. We took everything that people didn't want, we took it. Even the flowers sometimes, you know, were just begging. There was nothing. Or in the very beginning, as they went to London, there was practically not even money. What did they have? Almost not even $1,000, wiring it back and forth so everybody could enter the country. And then here you are in one of the major cities of the world with six people, one small child with $1,000 in their hands. Now what are you going to do with that? It's absolutely impossible. But it happened. And in America, how many went, just two persons to a place and started from nothing? Like the devotee who came to Germany, Shivananda, in my book I describe, because he explains, he also wanted to go to London. Everybody had the idea could go to London and meet the Beatles. But he was refused. He couldn't enter. So he had to go to Amsterdam. And in Amsterdam they told, why don't you go to Berlin? And he went to Berlin. And before he went, he was in Montreal also, he asked, so when I get there, what am I going to do? He went alone. He said, just sit down, put something in front of you, and take kartals and chant Hare Krishna. I mean, anybody here is prepared to try that? I mean, not the olders, we are exempt. You know, that age, between 20 and 30, we were all between 20 and 30, over 30 old age. So, but that spirit was there. You just go to some place and sit down, like Suchandra Bhaktivushan Swami. He went to Munich in the same spirit, and he was married. He had a wife and a child. Doesn't matter. You go to Munich, sit down somewhere, just chant Hare Krishna and see what happens. So that's what Prabhupada showed. Just go to a place. You don't know anybody, basically, except for that couple. They are far away in Pennsylvania somewhere. But when he went to New York, just this weird Dr. Mishra. But besides that, there were nobody. Just sitting down underneath a tree and chanting Hare Krishna, and everything came. So, yes, the acharyas, they show by their example how under any circumstances, if Krishna wants, miracles can happen. And even if you have everything, you may have all the different facilities, if you don't use it properly, it will be taken away in mysterious ways. We have seen that also. Devotees who became rich and had so much money, and then suddenly Zero. Not only zero, in debt. Like some millionaires, they win the lottery. If you're not destined, or if you don't, you know, you don't use it properly, you're a millionaire for a few days. You lose everything and you're in debt. So, more comments or questions about this?
Hare Krishna.
Yes.
Maharaj, very good point. Actually, the pure devotees, they don't need any material objects because they have the spiritual wealth of unlimited faith. You know, yasya deva para bhaktir. And that, with that, everything else will come. But how to acquire that faith, that is a rare blessing, you know. It's the essence of the soul's connection to Krishna. How deep is your faith? And also Krishna says, name bhaktya paranishyati, that my devotees will always become victorious. You know, they will never perish, that is, they will never dwindle, but they will ultimately come out victorious. So Prabhupada's life is the most amazing demonstration of that. So is the Pandavas, you know. They seem to have lost everything, but Krishna had another plan to make them victorious again. Eh?
Thank you. And another point which just comes to my mind, which I think we should contemplate, is even if there is a loss, we should not lose our Krishna consciousness or become doubtful or even, what to speak of, resentful, which is not impossible. We don't even talk about now losing some money. Money you can always again make, gain. What about losing a very close relative? Leave, you know. We don't even speak about parents, because that's natural. They are older, especially when they're really older, and then finally they leave their bodies. Yes. There may be some lamentation, but what about losing husband, wife, child, brother, sister, close friends, like that? How do we react in our relationship with the Lord, knowing He's all-powerful, He's all-good, and people who have not enough faith, then their question, why is this happening to me? I'm a good person. I'm trying to not lie, not steal, not, you know, don't do anything really bad. So why do I have to suffer? At least it's not eternal. Why do I have to suffer such kind of loss? And those who are faithful and have a firm conviction, they will generally see after some time that this loss was a blessing. It depends how you look at it. How this loss may have given an impetus to become more active or more, how you say, fixed, immersed in Krishna consciousness. As Krishna says, this quote of Yasyaham Anugrinami, he says it's a favor. When I harishyatatanam shanai, when I take away somebody's opulence, which includes not only money but any other possession, property, it is a favor. This is explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita in chapter 22, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaks about a devotee who surrenders to the Lord, and then the Lord, he takes a vow that from that day on, I will give protection. It's actually Ramachandra taking a vow when Vibhishana surrenders himself. So in the following verses, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami points out that sometimes it may happen that a devotee who has facilities may slip into a enjoying mood. And then when Krishna sees that, he says, oh, this fool, You know, now he's doing this, I'm more intelligent, so I will just take it away and give him the taste of my lotus feet. So, yes, we may not be able to see at one point when there is a loss why this is happening, but we can be sure that, because nothing happens by accident, that if we are surrendered to the Lord, there must be some reason and there must be a plan. We just have to figure out and have to see from the right angle why this is happening. Like Queen Kunti, she also has this vision that now we are well situated, and what is the result? We may forget you. So therefore I'm actually having a desire that we may be put again into extreme circumstances, like emergency situations, disaster area, so that then there's no other way. Now where we go? All material plans have failed. There's nothing else that can be done. And that's the point of a real loss. A real loss means there's no turning back. It's done. Like a burnt shirt. You can't rescue it. It's burnt. Now what are you going to do? Lament and cry over the burnt shirt? No. One has to move on and take the appropriate steps. So it's a matter of, like Srila Prabhupada, he was not resentful when his business failed. He said, okay, now we go. How do we go from here? Now what does this mean? What is Krishna trying to tell me? And he says, oh yes, now I remember. Actually, my spiritual master ordered me a long time ago, just go and preach. So, okay, do it. And then everything is in your hands. And we can see this again, very important in those prayers he composed before coming to America, just a few days actually, before landing in Boston. And then when he arrived, there's two kinds of prayers. And in the prayer to the lotus feet, no, the other one, the Markine Bhagavad Dharma, preaching Krishna consciousness in America, that he composed after only one day, actually a few hours, looking around downtown Boston, right? The captain had invited him to come off the ship. They went downtown Boston, and the first time Prabhupada sees America as it is. Not as Hollywood wants you to believe it is. And he is actually shocked. And he puts it in the prayers. First reaction, why did you bring me here? I mean, this place is impossible. Look at these people. And how in the world will I be able to even make them interested in Krishna? What to speak of actually making them Krishna conscious or helping them to become Krishna conscious? It's an impossible task. But, and that is the difference, he said, but there must be, you must have some plan. There must be some purpose. So therefore, what is the ultimate conclusion? I'm just a puppet. You make me dance. Hare Krishna. This is it. It's 9 sharp, so we have to. Please, one comment in a few seconds.
Well, that was a perfect conclusion. The very sometimes it's bewildering, you know, how Krishna handles his devotees. You know, he gives them, he takes away, he gives them, he takes away. You know, so there's the external circumstances, our situation, and it was mostly the internal. Now the whole process of Krishna consciousness is really increasing our internal connection to Krishna. Of course, externally we want to be dedicated to spreading Krishna consciousness in whatever situation Krishna allows. We are becoming educated to deepen our faith how Krishna is always in control and there's never any loss and diminution. And so we have the amazing pastimes of all the pure devotees throughout the Bhagavatam. They're up, they're down, but they're actually always coming closer to Krishna, and that's how Krishna plays with them. And Prabhupada's life is the most miraculous demonstration of how Prabhupada's determination. Imagine Prabhupada's determination. He had a wonderful plan. He was a genius at business. He should have been successful, but Krishna made him otherwise. And also, Prabhupada started the League of Devotees in Jhansi. That should have worked. But it was to show that Prabhupada, no, the people of India are not quite serious enough. And therefore, I have to do Mission Impossible and go to the West. So it's the internal connection that is really what's happening. That's where Krishna is really working for his devotees, to deepen their determination and faith. And that's how you achieve success externally. It's by the internal growth. Huh? That's my understanding.
And even if there's no success externally, still the internal wealth and property is there, and that nobody can really take away. No, therefore, ahetukya pratiyata, devotional service is not possible to be checked by any external circumstances. So that's good to know. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Sri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.